Hallelujah. How many of you know that you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Praise the Lord. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about his word. I'm excited about the beginning of this new year and what it holds for each of us. We're in this series on First Things First, and I'm focusing on four areas in this series. Last week, we focused on stewardship. Today will be service. Next week, we'll talk about souls, and that week after that, we'll talk about the spiritual disciplines. I believe these four areas that the Lord laid on my heart for First Things First. We're going to be obedient to the will of God and the call of God for each of us. There needs to be a focus on every one of these areas. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 11. Let's read it together. And then I want us to go over to Mark chapter 10 after that. Ephesians 4. Beginning with verse number 11, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and read that verse 13. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now let's look also at Mark chapter 10. Verses 42 through 46. Verse 42, but Jesus called to them and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time to break bread together. Holy Spirit, we need you to come. We need you to come in power. I pray that you would arrest our thoughts, that they would be brought under subjection to your spirit, and that every thought that's not of you would be removed from our minds and our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who don't feel well today. I pray that you would just heal their bodies. I know it's a sacrifice for some to even be here because they don't feel well, but they came anyway to the house of the Lord, and they know that there's something here for them. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just touch your people. Those who are watching online, I pray that you administer to them today. And you speak a word to them. Bring healing and do whatever needs to be done in every life. And Father, we'll just give you praise. Holy Spirit, come. Would you just say that with me, church? Holy Spirit, come. Come in power. Speak to us now. Change us and transform us. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just say we've been to church. We're just asking for a fresh word and the Spirit of God to speak to us and change us and transform us. We know that you have redeemed us. And we know that you have changed us, Lord. But we want to continue to be changed. We want to continue to grow. We want to continue, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you and follow hard after your will and your voice in our lives. We give you the praise for what you will accomplish today. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray all these things. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. While you're being seated, I just want to ask you to be in prayer for the funeral service today at 3 p.m. for Sister Ruby Gaddy. What a precious woman of God she was. Her and her husband Claude were with us for several years, just a beautiful couple. And I ask that you pray for the service and pray for me today as I conduct that funeral service. So last week we talked about stewardship as it relates to the tithe and offerings. We focused on the truth that the tithe is the Lord's. Amen? And I pray that you're being obedient to the Lord by putting this principle into action. God knows my heart. My greatest motivation in bringing that principle to you is I want to see you live in the favor and the blessing and the provision of Almighty God. That is my chief desire as your pastor. I want to see you blessed. I don't want anybody to be cursed. I don't think anybody here would say that I want to be in a curse. I want you to live in the blessing and the favor and the provision of God. But returning the tithe is not the only way to give. Giving an offering above the tithe is not the only way to give. There are other aspects of giving to explore, to acknowledge, and to obey. So today I want to focus on service. Everybody say service. Those rescued from the chains of sin and darkness are called to serve the Lord and serve people. That's the theme of the message, if you will, and we'll unpack it from there. And as we serve others, we are serving Jesus. And I don't just mean people who confess to be born-again believers in Christ. I'm not just talking about people who sit on the pews beside of you. I'm talking about anyone and everyone that is made in the image of God. Genesis 1 and 26 tells us that we're all made in the image of God. Think about that. Everybody. That family member, that coworker, that person that really just kind of grates on your nerves. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves them as much as he loves you. And they also are made in the image of God. And God has called you to serve people. Success and greatness in the kingdom of God is far different than success in the eyes of the world. In the kingdom of God, there is no easy way per se. There is no easy elevator to the top. To get to the top in God's eyes, you've got to take the stairs of service. You've got to humble yourself before the Lord. And he said, those who humble themselves before the Lord, he will lift you up. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This is the way of the kingdom of God. How many of you know that God's called us to be kingdom people with a kingdom mindset? When James and John asked to sit on Jesus' right hand, the other disciples were infuriated. Jesus calmed them down and spoke these words to them in Mark chapter 10, verse 42. You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. Jesus is our greatest example. We are to pattern our lives after Jesus. If you get confused sometimes on who am I supposed to follow, who am I supposed to pattern my life after, then bury yourself in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ and pattern your behavior, pattern your lifestyle after Jesus Christ and His teachings and His commandments. Jesus said in Matthew 20 and 26, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. There's a scripture that I memorized when I was at Lee that I've carried dear to my heart to this day. And it's found in Proverbs 15 and 33. It's a short little scripture, but it's something that just grabbed my heart when I was reading the book of Proverbs early in those days. And the scripture says in Proverbs 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You see, James and John had it backwards. What's in it for me, they said. What can I get out of this? The secret to greatness in the kingdom of God is not how many servants you have, but what kind of servant you are. You remember the story of Jesus in John 13 with the disciples in the upper room. They were going there to have the Last Supper. To their surprise, he was wearing a towel around his waist and carrying a bowl of water. Peter said, what's going on? Jesus said, in essence, it's time to wash some feet. And Peter said, I'm not washing feet, not even yours. Jesus said, I know, I'm washing your feet. Verse number 7, look at it. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. In other words, Peter was saying, I desire a thorough cleansing of my entire life, not just my feet, but all over me. I need that precious cleansing. That's what we've been singing about this morning. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and redeems us, washes us, cleanses us. Now, I want to ask you a key question for this message. Are you more interested in being served in a church, or are you more interested in being a servant in the church? What the church can do for you is important, but just as important, if not more important, is what can you do for the church? I'm talking about a tithe of your time. I'm talking about a tithe of your commitment. I'm talking about putting God first in acts of service. But how many of you know that faith alone saves us? I understand that. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith through grace in Jesus, amen? But because we have been saved, there ought to be a desire to do good works and to put our gifts and our talents, hallelujah, our spiritual gifts into practice in and through the church. And I'm not just talking about here in these walls. I'm talking about in the community, wherever we are. We are called to serve. We're called to make a difference. We're called to shine the light of Jesus Christ wherever we find ourselves, because you don't just have Jesus when you're in this place. You carry Jesus with you wherever you go. You are a light for Him. He abides in you. He abides in me. We carry the Spirit of God, and we carry the very image of God, and we carry the fact that we've been saved and born again and washed in His blood with us wherever we go. Amen. Called to serve. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're called to serve. Hallelujah. The first grade teacher asked her class the question. I like the story. What do you do to help at home? And one of the answers came back, well, I wash the dishes. Another kid said, I feed the dog. I wish I could get my kids to help with that one. Feed the dog. Now, they will take out the dog when we ask them to, but Another child said, I sweep the floor. Everybody had an answer except one little boy sitting in the back. The teacher looked at him and said, Billy, what do you do at home? What do you do to help out? He said, well, I just stay out of the way. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do, right? But you know, there's far too many members, attendees, people in the church that they have that kind of mentality. I just want to stay out of the way. Let everybody else do it. Just let everybody else do it. I'll just stay out of the way. The scripture teaches that every child of God is a minister. And every member should be involved in ministry. When I say member, I mean attendee. I mean people who attend the church, people who are part of this body. Now, let me go ahead and warn you that there is no excuse for a saint, for someone who's been delivered from sin, who's been set free from the powers of hell, there's no excuse for us to refuse to serve. There's no reason for us. I want to share with you just a few principles this morning that I believe could be helpful to you and me. As we seek to put God first things first in this area of tithing our time and commitment. See, first of all, the Lord expects His people. He expects His people to minister to others, to serve others. Ephesians 4 tells us about the fivefold ministry that we just read in Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You were saved by the Lord for ministry. You were created for ministry. In Ephesians 2 and 10, Paul said, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By the way, we don't do good works in order to get saved. I established that a few moments ago. I don't care what you do. You can't do enough to earn salvation. Salvation is not earned. It's a free gift. But because I've received this free gift now, He says, I want you to serve. I do good works because I have been saved, not in order to get saved. You're called to ministry. Call to salvation and the call to service go hand in hand. We often want to separate them, but Jesus does not. When Jesus Christ first met the men who would be His disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, He said, come, be My disciples. Invitation to relationship right there. Come, be My disciples. Come, be with Me. I will show you how to fish for people. There was the call to salvation, be My disciples. Then there was the call to service, fish for people. He calls us, first of all, come be with Me. How many of you know you can't just stay with Jesus all the time? I mean, like in a prayer closet somewhere, like hid away from everybody else. He said, I want you to come be with Me, but now that you've been with Me, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out in the power of My Spirit, in the power of the calling that I've placed upon your life. You're not going by yourself. My Spirit will equip you to do this work. Every Christian's been called to minister. Every Christian has been called to ministry. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that, obviously, that every Christian is called to pastor or called to full-time work in a church, because we have it in our minds when we hear the word minister, because of our tradition and our culture. When we hear the word minister, we automatically think about the person who stands in the pulpit. Is that not true? Who's the minister today? Well, we're all supposed to be the ministers. There's going to be one speaker today. There's going to be somebody who feeds us the word, which Ephesians 4 calls the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist and prophet, the fivefold ministry. But we're all called to be ministers. You see, a servant in the Bible is a minister. A minister in the Bible is simply a servant. I've told you this before, and it just keeps ringing in my spirit. You were saved to serve. You're saved to serve. You're not saved to just sit and soak and sometimes sour. Because if you just soak up things and nothing's done with it, how many know that it can turn into a kind of a sour smell? Right? Think about this. Why doesn't God just take you to heaven the moment that you get saved? Because he's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a calling for you. There's somebody that God's called you to reach and minister to and help and heal and set free from sin and say an encouraging word. Lead to Jesus. That only you can. How many of you know that we're called to go forth and heal people in Jesus' name? And I don't just mean physical healing. That's part of it. I mean heal their lives. Speak healing over their lives. Speak to the brokenness of their lives. There's people broken around us every single day. But God has put inside of us the ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God should be our message. Because what you're longing for and the deepest longings of your heart can only be met and found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's really what people are longing for. And we got the answer. God expects us to minister to people. Secondly, not only does the Lord expect us to minister to others, but thankfully, he equips us. Everybody say equips. He equips his people to minister to others. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what you have here, in effect, is a job description for both the pastor and the people. First of all, notice it is God's people who must assume the work of ministry. Please don't turn a deaf ear to this message today because this is the Word of God. In other words, I'm not just here to do the ministry of the church. I'm here to give my ministry to the church to equip you to do works of ministry. I hope you don't turn me off. Because a lot of this is countercultural. It's counter to tradition of even church history. Because we pay the preacher and we pay the staff to do all the work for us, Pastor. Really? Let me ask you a question. Is that biblical? Based on what I just said, does that line up with Ephesians 4 on what we just read? God, help us to have a biblical model of how we do church. I wish I had somebody help me preach today. Let's have a biblical model of how we do church. You see, God is calling you to do works of ministry, and he's called me to equip you to do works of ministry. We're having one of those meetings here today in the fellowship hall with our helps ministry, with our greeters and our parking lot attendants and our ushers and security team and follow-up team. How many know that all of those people are so vitally important to make the church function? Works of ministry. What you do when you stand out in the vestibule and you greet somebody and you welcome them in the name of the Lord into the church, and what you do in the parking lot, what you do behind the scenes, and I can't name them all right now. I'm just going to say what you do matters in the kingdom of God. Works of ministry. Equipping people to work for the Lord. My number one job is to equip. If I don't equip you and empower you to do works of ministry, then I've failed as a pastor. Biblically, I am called to lead. I'm called to feed and equip for works of ministry. Have you ever witnessed a pastor that tried to do everything him or herself? Few people will be honest about it. But I've seen that. I've seen pastors completely burn themselves out because they felt like they had to do everything. They had to be the choir director. They had to be the praise leader. They had to take up the offering. They had to preach the message. They didn't want anybody else to do anything. That's one of the problems. So there could be an ego thing, but also there's also the other side of it where the church automatically they want the pastor to do it all because they have that mentality. We pay him to do that, so he needs to do it all. And of course, there needs to be a balance in that. There's a lot of things that I do as a pastor. You probably have no idea that I do, but it's just part. It just comes with it, right? It comes with it. But we're all called to serve. God never meant for you just to sit on a pew and say, well, I'm a part of this church, but that's all you do. No, God hasn't called you just to sit. He's called you to work. And I believe that percentage has increased in our church over the years. I give God praise for that. I believe we got more people involved in ministry than we've had in the past, and I want to see that number continue to grow. But I want to see you fulfilled and find meaning and purpose in life. And if you'll get involved in work, we'll talk more about that in a few moments. So the third and the last thing is this. Short message today, but I hope very meaningful and powerful to you. Not only has God given you equippers to help you do the work of ministry, that is the pastor and those who serve under him, but God has also given you the equipment to do the ministry of the church called spiritual gifts. Everybody say spiritual gifts. How many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? Raise your hand if you know what your spiritual gifts are. About 15 of you, maybe. Some people just didn't want to raise their hand, I guess. But you have at least one spiritual gift. As the Holy Spirit distributes, as the Holy Spirit wills, He gives unto His people gifts for ministry. How many of you know that God never calls us to do anything without empowering us and enabling us to carry out that calling? Where He guides, I love this, He provides. Where He guides, He provides. God will never call you to do anything without equipping you to do it. If you know that God has called you, He will equip you. He will empower you. He'll give you the tools. He'll give you the ability to do it, and He uses pastors to help do that, to put those tools into your hands for works of ministry. Well, I'm afraid that I get involved in something, Pastor. It might be the wrong thing, and I might make a mess of it. And listen, it ain't always about succeeding or failing. Sometimes it's about experimenting with something to find out if it's the right thing to do. If that's not the right area, then we'll change it, put you somewhere else. But as long as you have a willingness and a heart to serve people, then you can be used by the Lord. He's just looking for somebody that will say, like Isaiah did, here I am, send me. Don't send him, don't send her. That's what we do with people sometimes. Call him and call her, but leave me alone. That's a work for somebody else. I'm here to tell you, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us today. He's calling you. He's talking to you. You can get involved in some way to benefit and lift up the name of Jesus and advance the church of the living God. Spiritual gifts. Let's look at that just for a few minutes. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, that's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm exhorting you in the Lord. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Notice it's not for the profit of the individual. It's not for you to lift yourself up and say, look what gifts I have, or look what I'm able to do. That kind of spirit is not of God. The Spirit of God will always point others to Jesus and what He wants to do in people's lives. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues and in different interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills, as the Spirit wills. He distributes those gifts into our lives. Now, it's not up to us to be, oh, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that gift. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. What has God gifted you to do? What has He called you to do? And how can I use this in and through the body of Christ, in the church and outside the church? How can I be a blessing to people? Every Christian is gifted. We don't all have the same gifts, but we are all equally gifted in the sense that God has given us the abilities and gifts we need to do what He wants done in the body of Christ. God doesn't waste anything. I hope you're not wasting it. Every spiritual gift and natural ability that you have, God gave it to you to be used in ministry. Each of you has received a gift or more than one gift to be used to serve others. Let's look at just a few more scriptures, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. 1 Peter 4 and 9, look at it with me. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him minister with the ability which God supplies, that God in all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Spiritual gifts are not primarily given for your enjoyment. They're given for your employment. Amen. To serve others. The church needs you involved in ministry. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the church needs you to be involved in ministry. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we are not a complete body until every member of the body does its share. I want to read just a portion of 1 Corinthians 12 again. This is a different portion. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, and I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would it be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And He's saying all of these individual members make up the whole body. And if one part is not doing what it's called to do, the rest of the body suffers. Isn't that what Paul's saying? We all have a role to play. Do you know what your role is? If you do not, come and talk to me. Let's figure it out. You got to have a desire to serve. You got to want to serve. I promise you, together, through prayer and through the spiritual gift, finding out what the spiritual gifts are, we will find out what you are called to do. And meaning and fulfillment will come into your life because God's created you with purpose. He's given you purpose. Every single person in this place, those listening online, God's given you a purpose. Not just to go through life and, well, I'll get to heaven one of these days. No, I thank God for heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I don't know about you. But I want to be busy doing his work until I get there and take as many people with me as I can to heaven. I asked you that question earlier about spiritual gifts. I have placed a spiritual gifts test out at the Welcome Center. Some of you have taken that before, but some of you may have never taken that. Or maybe you'd forgotten what they were and you'd like to take it again. Go to the Welcome Center. If we don't have enough copies, we'll make some more. Fill out that spiritual gifts test. Go through it. Write down what your dominant gifts are and your subordinate gifts are. And let's talk about them. Contact me. Let's figure out how to get you involved in ministry. Maybe you feel like you're in the wrong area of ministry and you need to change. That's okay. I don't believe God's called anybody to do something and then you feel miserable doing it. I've been in this ministry for 10 years and I just absolutely hate it. But there's nobody else that'll do it. So, how many of you know that God didn't call us to be miserable? He called us to be fulfilled and enjoy the work of ministry. Now, I know there's moments when you don't enjoy it. I understand that. But if you don't ever sense that this is meaningful and fulfilling to you, then you're probably in the wrong place. Because God will not call you to do something and be miserable all the time in it. Somebody say amen. So what are some of those? I'm just going to list some of these available ministries. I'm going to ask Pastor Tommy to come in just a few minutes. I'm just going to list them here. Prayer ministry, seniors ministry, youth ministry, kids ministry, boys and girls club, VBS, singles ministry, men's ministry, ladies ministry, music ministry, food bank ministry, Oakley Elementary School. And by the way, I've got a date set for May the 16th for us to go out in the community at the actual school. We'll be talking more about that. We're going to cook hamburgers and hot dogs, and we're just going to converse with parents and kids and reach out to people. Amen? May 16th this year. What about maintenance? I mean, you think about all the things that has to be done around your house. How many know that this is two big houses? There's a lot to be done around this place. Well, that's what we pay you to do, preacher. Really? Is that what you pay me to do? Helps ministry. I mentioned those a few moments ago. Greeters and parking lot attendants and ushers and security. Follow up with new guests and regulars. Set up and tear down at various functions. Cooking and serving food and cleaning. You know what bothers me sometimes when we have all these events? It's the same people that's cleaning up every time. It's like everybody wants to enjoy the benefits. But what about the cleanup? It's service. This is as much worship as standing up here on this stage worshiping the Lord. That is an act of worship. Those who work in the finance office, it's worship. Those who are serving behind the scenes, it's worship. It's worship. If you will see what you do as worship to the Lord, it will bring meaning and purpose to you. So not only should we tithe our finances, we should tithe our time in service for the Lord. This message is not to make you feel guilty. This message is to inspire you to have joy and purpose and meaning. That's what it's for. So I put God first in my tithing and my giving. I put him first in my commitments of time. Well, I don't know if I have time to do that, Pastor. Well, you make time for what you want to do. Let's just be honest about it. We all make time for what we really want to do. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your time will be spent also. So maybe we need to make some deliberate decisions about being involved. Maybe it's, I'm just going to commit to VBS for, you know, because that's a one time a year thing. Well, praise the Lord. At least you've committed to something for the year. It's not a commitment until you die. Because that's why some people are scared about committing to things, because they feel like if they start something, they'll never get out of it. Then why don't you give me a 3-month commitment or a 6-month commitment and do it in short bursts? You might just find that you're so fulfilled in what you're doing, you might think to yourself, I can't believe I haven't been doing this already. Can't believe that I've squandered this time, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to start where I'm at. You can't change the past, but you can change now and you can change the future in every area of your life. Hallelujah. Let me finish that list. Sunday school, teaching a class or becoming an assistant, visitation, visiting the sick, shut-ins. How many know these are vitally important ministries? Sound and media, marketing, nursing homes. I mean, the list, I probably have missed something. If you have a ministry on your heart that's not on this list, then I'm open to hearing about it. Let's sit down and talk about it, how it could be used for the glory of God. So not just tithing our finances, but tithing our times of service. And when we make time to serve, listen, we're actually serving Jesus himself. Holy Spirit's going to talk to some people here right now, because sometimes you get so focused on just that individual and that personality and what bothers you. Listen, you got to get past all of that. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. We're wrestling against Satan and the evil spirits. It's not people we wrestle with. It's the enemy himself. Sometimes those spirits can work through people. I understand that, but that's not our real battle. It's against the enemy. But if we can just remember that when we serve people, we're serving Jesus himself. What an opportunity. Today I get to minister to Jesus. Every client that you see, Tammy, it's an opportunity to minister to Jesus. Amen. Every person you come in contact with, church, every day, it's an opportunity to minister to Jesus. I want to close with this scripture, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, verse 31 of Matthew 25, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Anybody ready to minister to Jesus? Minister to Jesus. And that's not just in, that's not just, again, let me say, not just here at the church. The church is not the building. You are the church. How many of you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior here this morning? And raise your hand unashamedly. I'm not ashamed of that. Now I want you to put your hand on your chest and say this with me. I am the church. I am the church. And as the church, you are called to be the church wherever you are. Wherever you find yourself, you are to be the church. There are some times, I'll just be honest with you, and unless you're a pastor, unless you're a preacher, you don't understand this, so please just give me a little leeway here for a moment. Will you do that? Sometimes I just want to check out and just not be the pastor sometimes. I just want to be, when I go out in the community, I hope maybe somebody won't notice me today, and maybe I can just sit here and have my lunch, and you know what I'm trying, do you understand where I'm coming from? Will you give me some leeway here? And it never fails, when I think that, I'll see somebody. Somebody will walk, hey, pastor. And there I am having a conversation with them, and I'm reminded all over again that I'm a pastor all the time, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. And listen, it is a privilege to serve people. And then the Holy Spirit just said, you know what? I had a plan for you today. I brought that person into your path today, and He'll bring that person into your path tomorrow and Tuesday and next. If you'll just be open to the Spirit calling and the Spirit speaking to you, He'll lay something on your heart, and there'll be a blessing in store for them and for you. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Will you stand with me? He's calling us to serve, church. How many of you are willing to serve with me in some way? Hallelujah. Would you just, I know maybe not everybody can get down here, but as many of you that will you just crowd this altar this morning and say, I just want to serve. I'm going to serve somehow. I'm going to tithe of my time and service to the Lord in some capacity. I would hope that everybody in this house would meet me. Come on, what are you waiting on? Come on. Come as quickly as you can, and let's just say, let's just offer ourselves the Lord in this altar. Come in as close as you can, if you will. And would you come with your hands lifted in this time of prayer?